Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. Be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours.
To the last few moments, but the Addicts have fallen short and League One awaits, and that is just the start of it. Welcome to Charlton Live. So hello and welcome to Charlton Live. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are well on this week's show, the final show of the elongated 1920 season. We unfortunately will be talking about the fact that the Addicts have dropped back into League One and all the other problems that are going on off the pitch as well. It's not going to be a happy show, but hopefully we'll get lots of our chest. Joining me to do that, finally, I can actually do a show with someone in person because the lockdown rules are slightly loosened and you're allowed one other household in your house. I've invited Mr. Benji Cloak to join me in my kitchen. How you doing, Ben?
Good afternoon. Yes, very good, Louis.
Bit of a tough week.
Yeah, I think today's weather kind of sums up my mood really about football. But
yeah,
time to move on, and we've got 6 weeks to the start of the new season. So
yeah, don't remind us. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty soggy in Sid Cup, unfortunately, this afternoon, and our moods are no better, unfortunately. We've also got two more lads joining us on the phone. Of course, we've got Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom? How you feeling after the relegation?
I'm getting there. It's taken a few days, but yeah, I could be better, but could be worse.
Yeah, and another man who I'm sure will feel very much the same is Mr. Mark Newbury. How you doing, Mark?
No, I'm all right, mate. I mean, like our esteemed colleague, Mr. Terry Smith, you know, I've got a few more extra years of supporting Charlton over you boys, so it's happened a few times to me, you know, and with everything, you know, is it pointless getting too low now? Yes, it is.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, you have got a few extra years on us. Hopefully, we've all got a few extra years watching Charlton. Although, with the current state of the team, of the situation off the pitch, I guess we're not really sure. So, of course, we will talk about on this week's show the mess, the confusion the suspicion off the pitch at the moment. But we'll start off talking about the football. We're going to hear the highlights in a second, Ben. But, you know, when everything that's gone on this season, and obviously we got absolutely battered up at Leeds, but when we went into that last minute, 2 minutes, and it looked like we were going to get away with it, to have that snatched away cruelly by a last-minute Barnsley goal, I mean, you can see how much it affected Lee Bowyer, and it affected all of us the same. That was really hard to take.
Yeah, ultimately disappointed with our own game, as I think you were commentating on the time with your tweeting, and you said you'd stop watching the Leeds-Charlton game because it didn't matter anymore, and we were all looking at the Barnsley-Brentford game. It's just, oh, crazy. Who would have ever thought that come down to Brentford needing to win to get promoted? 1-1 going in the last few minutes and Barnsley nick a goal. Mm. Yeah, absolutely got
it. The game must have been so open at that point that there was always a chance that someone would score, and you were just praying it would go one way. Tom, I mean, we always said in the build-up to the game, it was going to be a roller coaster. I mean, I think it was you who said on last week's show in midweek that it would come down to a last-minute leveller or a last-minute winner for someone, and obviously that turned out to be the case.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't take any pleasure in being right, but...
Normally do.
Like you, it got to... I think it must have been about 50 minutes into our game, just after half-time. I can't remember when they got a goal shortly after the break, when we probably had our best spell of the game, which isn't saying much. And like you, I had our game on TV, put it on mute, and had Sky Sports on my iPad, and just followed all the other stuff from there, and... Yeah, I mean, I've gone through all the emotions like everyone else, and I'm sure we'll talk in a little bit more detail about all the reasons that we've gone down, the ones that we're responsible for and the ones that were out of the team's hands. But when you look at all of that and you go, despite everything, we were, what, a couple of minutes away from staying up? It's very cruel. It is very cruel. I've really struggled with it, and I think it feels like it's more than just relegation this time, with everything else that's going on that we're going to have to talk about. And I hope I'm wrong. But, it was absolute heartbreak at the end. Absolute heartbreak. Really, really tough one to take.
Yeah, sorry if you heard the door creaking there, Solly. The cat was trying to get in into the kitchen. Mark, you know, we said a lot of what was going to happen on Wednesday was going to happen elsewhere, but... I guess something has to be said about the fact that we got absolutely battered by Leeds United. You know, 2 weeks ago, Barnsley went there and only lost 1-0. We're unlucky. Could we have done more on the evening in hand? Or were Leeds just too good for us?
Well, you can always do more. We said in the previous show, you know, you can't rely on any other team. You have to do it yourself. I think you probably picked the right team. Once the first goal went in, I mean, all you saw was 11 people's shoulders drop, and that was probably the most disappointing thing. But we, you know, and when Doughty had a chance when he was through, and you're thinking, okay, he gets it back to 2-1, and we can maybe push on, and he rolls it past. But it was the body language after that first one went in. Was I was like, oh, that's it, it's all over. And you're thinking, that's not normally a Bowyer team. It's not normally a team which has got someone like Cullen and Pearce, and you know, people can G up and say, right, come on, it's one, we can get about one back. And I think once the second one went in, that was it. You know, the Leeds keeper could have probably brought a book out for the second half. He wasn't going to be doing much.
Well, in fairness, we were probably better after the break in terms of chances created, but we didn't find the back of the net. And like I say, I did spend the majority of that second half listening to the Brentford game, our own BBC London coverage. I had that put into my headphones, and they kept coming to ask me what was happening in our game, and I was going straight back and asking what was happening in theirs, because unfortunately that was more important to us. Let's have a listen back to how the evening went then over on Valley Pass. It was a roller coaster of emotions. We were in, we were out, we were back in. That's the way it went, unfortunately, in the relegation zone. Your commentators over on Valley Pass for the last time this season were Greg Stubley and Terry.
He's going to send this long, which means McGeady can't go for this, but Bond does. Oh, surely White's all over Bond there. Nothing given.
Blackburn beating Luton.
Cullen down to the right of Matthews, and yes, Blackburn beating Luton. Who saw that one coming?
Well, a long way to go yet, but
indeed,
it's a good start.
It's a deeper one into the centre. Bond with a header clearance, but it'll run through to Dallas. Will he take the shot? No, goes back out to Hernandez. Hernandez taking on Bond. On the outside, ball across, flicked away by Phil, but it drops to the edge. Shot into the top corner. I think that's
Ben White,
the centre-half, who's launched that into the top corner. Unstoppable strike. And leads a 1-0 up.
Yes, inside to Hernandez. Lovely ball in a penalty area. Picks out Dallas with the shot and it's in. Hernandez with one of the best assists of the season. We spoke about Dallas picking the pockets of Charlton's defence. And this time he gets there first and just toe-pokes it into the corner. Nothing Phillips could do about that one. And Charlton are 2-0 down.
It just had Charlton defenders rooted to the spot. That Hernandez ball, it went straight through the legs. I didn't see who it was, actually, he went through the legs of. But nobody was prepared for it. And found Dallas in the edge of the six-yard box. He's only had to just toe-poke it past Dylan Phillips, who had no chance with it. And it looks like we're going to spend the evening looking at other results.
Well, Luton have equalised against Blackburn, but as it stands with Wigan's deduction, Charlton's still out of the relegation zone. And Leeds have a free kick in a promising position. Reminder, as it stands,
we're going to 1-0 up at Fulham, at home to Fulham. That changes things hugely.
As it stands, Charlton are in the relegation zone regardless of Wigan's 12-point deduction. Alioski headed it away. And I've got more bad news. Luton are now beaten Blackburn 2-1. So you need Blackburn to come from 2-1 behind and for Wigan to concede against Fulham. I've got even more bad news, unfortunately. Barnsley are now winning against Brentford. It wasn't a mountain before for Charlton.
Going swimmingly, isn't it?
It is now shining side by Click, and Click reads it really well. And there is the half-time whistle here. It's the worst possible half possible for Charlton, if we're being honest. Comes to an end. Not only do they find themselves two goals behind, results elsewhere means that even if they were drawing this match, it wouldn't be enough. Wigan, Luton and Barnsley all winning. Prepares to swing in for Leeds. Decent looking delivery. It's a free header.
Too easy.
For Tyler Roberts. And it's free for Leeds.
Far too easy, I'm afraid.
For all of Leeds' quality for this match, that's a goal. That was just of the most simple. Just a corner. Finds Roberts, the substitute. And almost seals. But there is news. Fulham have levelled at Wigan. By a strike forward towards Poveda. Poveda controls. He's got Shackleton in the middle, and Shackleton finishes, and it's 4-0. Jamie Shackleton, a great Leeds move. Poveda, the substitute, just slots it inside for the fellow substitute to make it 4-0.
Quick roll out to Lockyer, which was a
Brentford goal.
Little bit hospitalised. Oh, Brentford seem to have scored. And it changes once again as Matthews tries to tee up Cullen. Good sliding in challenge from Dallas, and Leeds have it back. So Stroik in midfield goes backwards to White. White goes, he tried to go out right first to Stroik, and who then tried to tee up Poveda, but they got that all wrong and it's out of play, and Brentford have equalised against Barnsley, and we're back in the melting pot, people.
Josh De Silva with the goal.
Always liked him.
Could be a huge, huge goal, more ways than one.
It currently stands with the Wigan 12-point penalty. Charlton are back out of the relegation places.
It's one touch, it's knowing everything. Oh, no.
Is there word coming in? We're prepared to take the goal kick. The signs on the bench don't look good. Hands on heads.
There's been a goal elsewhere. I'm just trying to find out who.
Dylan Phillips sends the ball away. Flicked on by Green, but straight to a white shirt.
Ball down to
Barnsley. Back to Dylan Phillips, who sends it away. And yep, Derby I've got to score, but I haven't got the Barnsley one up yet.
Barnsley are 2-1 up.
And with minutes to go, you feel, if that is the case, then Charlton's fate is sealed.
I know we're ahead of matches here. I think we're actually the furthest one ahead, but I've got no idea how long is left at Griffin Park.
Still hasn't flashed up on my score sheet, I have to say. So, oh yeah, now it has. Yeah, Barnsley are winning. So Charlton back in the relegation places with seconds to go here, I should say. 10, in fact. And there is the final whistle. But it's not about what's happened here. It's about what's happening elsewhere. And currently, Charlton are in the bottom two. No news. People huddled over phones and tablets down there below us as we are here waiting for news. Wigan and Fulham have finished 1-1.
It's all over.
2-1. I'm hearing news that it is all over at Griffin Park, yeah, and Brentford. Have lost against Barnsley, so our fate is sealed, sadly. Charlton will be playing in League One next season.
So there we go then, Ben. You can hear the dejection in Greg and Terry's voices. I mean, Greg, when that winning Barnsley goal went in, it sounded to me like he was reading off the reaction from the bench. Because so Brett, the analyst, was me and Greg and Terry were at completely different ends of the gantry to each other. But Brett, the analyst, was sat next to me, so we were feeding the scores down to the bench. And you know, when Brentford equalised with 15 minutes left, he told Andy Marshall. I saw Marsh punch in the air and you could see how much it meant to him. But then when Barnsley scored in that last minute and it's fed down there and you can just see everyone with their heads in their hands and they know, you know, it's been taken away from them literally 10 seconds before the end of our game and maybe 2 or 3 minutes before the end of Barnsley. And it was just utter dejection because we were so close. And to have been at the start of the season, you know, with all the predictions about our budget and where we were going to finish rock bottom, to say the fact, well, we got it down to the last 10 seconds. Well, I guess that is something of an achievement, but it doesn't really feel like that when the final whistle goes and you find yourself back in League One.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the staff there, I'm devastated for the staff because they've put it all in. You can't knock the lot of team that we've had to try and help us on the field this season. They've given it their all. And look, we've been in the relegation zone twice the whole of the 46 games. And cruelly gets taken away from us on the last game. But yeah, it's just gutting really when you think about it, how close we were and how much Boyer and Jacko put in. And you heard that from Boyer's TalkSport interview the next day. He was just, yeah. I've never heard him like that before.
Yeah, I mean, we'll hear from Lee Boyer later on in the show, and that was his interview straight after the game. And I thought he sounded pretty down then, but it was even worse the next morning, I guess, when reality is really, really set in. It sort of sums up, Tom, the luck that we've had this season, that it is a team that scored 2 last-minute goals. Barnsley, in their last 2 games, scored 2 last-minute goals to get themselves over the line. When we've suffered so often in the last minute and we haven't seen games out, and you know, this is clearly one of the things we can blame ourselves for, because you've got 11 men out there on the pitch who are probably good enough to go and grind out the results that they didn't at times, and we missed our chances as well. And then you see a team like Barnsley who did do that, who did grasp the nettle and go on and score those 2 last-minute goals, and it costs us.
Yeah, and I mentioned previously that there were obviously a number of reasons where we went down. Obviously, the officiating and some of the decisions we've had played a part, for sure. All the stuff off the pitch, so ESI, Roland, the embargo, the injuries, Lyle, Solly, all of that stuff. But then when you look on the pitch, you know, I only jotted some down, but Millwall away, Birmingham away, obviously a few weeks ago, Sheffield, both home and away, Huddersfield at home, Hull at home, Bristol away. There was a long, long list of times where we've either been drawing or winning going into the final stages of games, and we've thrown it away. And I know that you can, you know, you keep saying what if, what if, what if, but that's the truth of it, is, you know, we have been so close to finishing, you know, comfortable in this league, and we haven't done it. And I think that's the other reason that it hurts, is because we we came up and, you know, we were excited to be back up, and it was such a dream to go up through the playoffs at Wembley the way we did. And you almost took this season as a free hit because of the wage restrictions we were going to be under and everything. And then when we started the season the way we did, you thought, well, actually, let's not take this as a free hit. I know we've got the lowest wage budget. I know this and that, but actually we've shown we can compete. And so to compete for so long, and I know if you look at our record from, what was it, October onwards, then it doesn't read pretty. But we'd shown we could compete, and there were factors in that decline. And as Benji says, it wasn't like we were just slumped at the bottom even during all of that run. The points that we'd put on the board, which still count, by the way, in August and September, kept us above that relegation zone for such a long time. And to go down to that final minute and to just... it'd be out of our hands, as you say. We could have done something at Leeds and we didn't. And then to have it just snatched away like that, it just felt so cruel. And I said it on Twitter that this relegation hasn't... of course, being on the pitch has played a part, but it's not just on the pitch is why we've got relegated. You say the same for both the other teams that have gone down. And that hurts because, as Benji said there, the staff and the players, they gave everything, it feels like, and they just came up short. And they haven't had the right backing. That's the truth of it. And we have to take that, and we go down, and hopefully we're allowed into League One next season, and we can start again and try and rebuild. But the future is very uncertain, and it's just so cruel to be taken away so late on in the manner that it was.
Yeah, I think that was one of the part of why it's so painful on Wednesday evening, is because of what comes next. It's a mystery. And the club is surrounded once again, you know, as it has been, by incompetence and now suspicion as well. There's a lot of people involved, and where questions will be asked of their motivations. You know, we've seen how unhappy fans have been recently. You know, the fan who confronted Chris Farnell and Paul Elliott outside the stadium a few weeks ago. You know, as we talked about that on the show at the time, it shows how upset people are. And I don't think, you know, we can see people are getting more and more suspicious of what's going to come next. And we'll certainly be focusing on that more later on in the show. Just the evening itself, Mark, it was a rollercoaster. You know, when early on we saw Luton go a goal down against Blackburn, and we're thinking, all right, here we go. Maybe it's actually going to be quite a comfortable evening's work. But not long after, we were a goal down. Luton equalised, Wigan went a goal up, Luton then went 2-1 up, and then just before half time Barnsley took the lead, and you're fearing the worst. So then at the start of the second half, Fulham get one back at Wigan, you're like, okay, Luton start to run away with it, unfortunately, so you sort of start to write them out of the equation. And then you're just thinking, right, we just need Brentford to score. And when Brentford scored with 15 minutes left, I thought, right, I mean, hopefully that's it. But then you're going into the closing stages, and until that full-time whistle goes, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, it was a roller coaster evening worth of events, Mark. How did you follow it, and what were your fears? I mean, was there any point in the evening where you thought, actually, we're going to do this, we're going to be okay?
No. In all honesty, I thought, like I say, like I said to you, once I saw their body shape, I didn't think we'd get anything from Leeds. I think every Luton player should go out and buy a lottery ticket, because once they went one down, Blackburn then got two own goals and gave away a soft penalty, one which we would never have got. You know, if a referee had been, referee our game, we'd never got that, but they got that, and, you know, fair play to them. I mean, I've been saying how good I thought Brentford were, and I said before the show, I thought Brentford was the best team in our division, and they turned up and played like us, unfortunately, yeah, against them.
I'm going to have to put you on the spot now then, Mark, because you know, you mentioned on the midweek show last week that you didn't think Leeds were all that, and they certainly didn't play that well at the Valley when we beat them by a goal to nil. But I think, having seen what we saw against us on Wednesday evening, I mean, they looked the real deal. So that must have been quite a hard one to take.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I still stand by it. I mean, I think in previous seasons, when you've seen people come up from the Championship and they've absolutely romped it, I mean, I think it was literally only in the last couple of games, because West Brom were drawing and the teams were low, no one was getting any results. They almost won it by default. They truly haven't impressed me. I think they'll struggle. They can say about having all the fans and whatever next season. I just think that they're going to find that step up a bit difficult for them. I mean, like Norwich did the season before.
I'm going to have to find the Twitter fan who tweeted the show. I didn't tell you about that. After the show during the week, there was a Leeds fan who weren't too happy with what you said about Leeds, but every opinion counts. But to be fair, they were very good on Wednesday evening, and that's what, it certainly didn't make it any easier for us. Ben, do you think we could have done more against them? Alfie had his chance, didn't he?
I guess it was odd because the way we played the game before, can't even remember what was the game before.
Against Wigan,
yeah, sorry. Josh Davison, as we said, played really well, but maybe that game was a bit too much for him, the pressure off it. I just felt those two were quite isolated, and they were trying to chase down Leeds players who can just play one-touch football around us, and we seemed a bit lost. And look, their first goal was an absolute screamer, wasn't it? I mean, Dylan got a hand to it, and it still went in the top corner. And yeah, as we said, Mark may differ, but look, they were the best team in the league this season. They're champions. Brentford, under pressure, couldn't come up with the goods. So Leeds, look, they played us off the park, didn't they? And we were trying to focus on other results to go our way, and unfortunately it didn't.
Yeah, that's the Championship all over, wasn't it? The three teams chasing that second place. None of them won the game, which is crazy. And obviously some of the teams down there trying to escape relegation did. But that's obviously just the way it goes. Tom, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer next, but before we do, we've all heard it already. In comes Solly the cat again, and Tom, obviously Bo's hurting, and what happens next with him, and maybe we'll discuss it a bit more in full after we've heard it, but I do worry about what comes next for him, because surely there has to be a stage where he says that enough is enough.
I'd be amazed if he's our manager next season, to be honest with you, because we spoke about it just at home after the game, and I was kind of saying, well, why would you stay? Like, why would you stay after that? And I know he loves the club, and I know he says he's been loyal, and I think every fan will be grateful for what he's done for us. I know there are some calling him out tactically, which I think is madness given what he's had to put up with, but I just don't see why you would want to put up with that. And unless the AFL sort the ownership out very, very soon, and he has assurances that the right people are in charge and they are going to back him, I just don't see why you'd stay. He's not going to be short of offers. I don't think this season is going to reflect badly on him at all. And what worries me is, you know, especially given, you know, the roles that you have in working with BBC and stuff, there are things that we know about the ownership. And he's coming out after an interview and saying there's stuff that's gone on that no one knows about. You think, well, how bad can it be? Because a lot of what's happened on the ownership has been played out on social media. So even just a lot of fans have seen a lot of the stuff that's gone on. And yet there is stuff going on that even he is just shocked about. He's had his hands tied behind his back. I would obviously be gutted if he goes, because I think he's done a brilliant job for us. But I just don't think he doesn't deserve it. You know, I think he deserves a crack at a club that are going to support him. It's same problem we had with Chris Powell, you know, and it's just come around again. And it would just be such a shame, because he had a real chance, just like Powley did, to build something here with the right backing. And once again, I think he just feels let down, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, tough one to take. Let's have a listen then to Lee Bowyer's post-match press conference. The audio quality isn't great because, as you'll hear, while we're trying to do the interview, obviously I'm sat up on the gantry and Lee Bowyer's down somewhere in a room somewhere in the bowels of Ellen Road. Leeds were being presented with a trophy, so we were sat there having the most depressing, saddening chat, having been relegated in the last minute. And just in my eye line, I saw Leeds celebrating their massive achievement of reaching the Premier League for the first time in 15 years. So it was such a juxtaposition of how people were feeling. But this is what Lee Bowyer had to say after we got relegated up at Ellen Road on Wednesday evening. As you can hear, he was not in the best of moods.
Actually, not happy. Because we're relegated, and I just said to the players, it ain't because of tonight's game. It's because since coming back from lockdown, we've been the better side in most of the games. And that's what's cost us. We should have been safe before we even came here tonight. But we wasn't, and so I'm disappointed, obviously, getting relegated. It's never a nice thing to happen, so yeah, I'm not in a good place at the moment.
Sorry, I'm playing the music really loud. I don't know if you can hear me. Like you said, it's one of the frustrations that they've come. You've had your chances over the course of the season. The things have gone against you so much. The injury crisis, the ridiculous January transfer window. That, you know, if things have gone differently, perhaps with things off the pitch and the injury problems that Charlton had as well, that you could have quite comfortably stayed in this division.
Yeah. If you cut corners, then this is what happens. So there's only so many things you can do, and there's only, you can cut corners for so long, but this is what happens when you cut corners. And even then, we still fought to the last day. And we should have still been safe. Like I believe that. I believe that with the group of players we've got, we should have still been safe. But that didn't happen. And with the chances we've created in the games of late, we should have won at least two of them, probably three of them. Decisions that went against us. Adam Wiley apologised to me again on Monday. But I said to him, like, big decisions can cost us points. And that's what's happened.
You mentioned it about the cutting of corners. I mean, I know you've had your hands tied behind your back for the entirety of the season. I spoke about that January transfer window. Obviously, throughout your time as Charlton manager, you've had other teams interested in you. You've proven, in my opinion, that obviously you're a manager who can do it at this level. Does Charlton's relegation change your feelings about your situation with the club at all? Because I'd be surprised if people don't come in for you During the summer, and Charlton's ownership crisis doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon.
Yeah, I didn't really get much of that, but I think the gist of it, what you were saying, I got, and I don't think it's the time to talk about whether other clubs will be interested in myself. I don't think it's the right time to talk about things like that. I've been loyal. I know that. I've definitely been loyal. Could have left on more than one occasion, and I'm glad I stayed. So we'll have to see what happens in the summer.
Yeah, so, sorry about tonight, Bo, obviously. I just wanted to see, I mean, you mentioned it a bit there, but there has been so much speculation that maybe you could go because of the kind of conditions you've worked under. Can you give any assurances? Obviously you're under contract, but that depends how you feel about things, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of things, Rich, that I've not been happy with, and more things of late recently have happened that's even made me even more so not happy with things that are happening here. But I love the club. Like I said, I've been loyal. And I gave my all, and right to the end there, you know, they scored in minutes ago or something. So, but now's not the time, Rich, to talk about my situation. At the end of the day, we've got relegated, and we're going to League One. So that's not good.
How big is that challenge in League One, Lee? Because you've got obviously players coming out of contract, quite a few loan players going back. I suppose it's too early to really think about it to some degree, but you're still digesting what's happened tonight.
Yeah. What I do know is we're still under an embargo. So yeah. I don't know what's going to happen there. Again, it's too early to start. Who's staying? Who's going? But there's going to be obviously a lot of them that go to try and work miracles again like we did last summer in probably half the time. I don't know, even though it's going to be possible to bring in enough players. And again, that's if we're allowed to. I don't know what's happening behind the scenes, but it's just been crazy, Rich. Like, obviously, you know a lot of the stuff that's been going on. It's just crazy. It's just not normal.
Well, you as well, obviously, just going on tonight, emotionally, how do you kind of feel? It's difficult asking you that in this scenario, but you said that you're obviously hurting, aren't you? Because you achieved so much getting Charlton up, and now you find yourself back, you know, back in that third tier.
Yeah, I'm hurting because I just don't like losing games, and the way we've gone down, the way we've been relegated, that hurts me even more because we should have won games, Rich. Like, you've been at the games, we should have won enough. We should have had enough points easily to keep us in the division easily. And that's what hurts me. It's not like we've been... See, like today, they was by far on a different level to us. By far. There was no comparison from the two teams today. And that's why they're going up. But in the other games, it ain't been the case. And that's what hurts me more than anything, because it was in our hands and we didn't grab it. We didn't grab that. That's me. Even with all the other crazy stuff that's been going on and at times I just felt like this job was impossible. It became impossible at times. Even when you've had all that, you still got the chance to stay in the division, and we never grabbed it. That's what hurts me more than anything.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers header. And it's Charlie.
Yes!
Oh, it's
it!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live. Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. That was Lee Bowyer then speaking after Wednesday's relegation back to League One. Mark, he was absolutely devastated. First of all, I mean, the frustration is in his voice mainly because we could have stayed up, and that we had, even with everything that's gone on off the field, he had moulded a squad that had probably more than enough to stay up if the injury crisis and what happened in terms of players leaving didn't happen, the January transfer window, if that didn't happen, all of that, taking it away, we probably still could have stayed up. And you can hear the frustration in his voice that in reality we threw it away.
No, I think it comes down to it was a single point, and he knows that, and he can look at half a dozen of the games like we have and say, if only. I agree with Tom. You know, I'd be amazed if he was there. He deserves more. In one way, over the period where we had all the injuries and we weren't winning, any other club, he'd have been sacked, I think, May, 9 November and stuff. And, you know, he carried on and he got them playing again. And okay, it wasn't great, but you know, we were churning the odd result out, and players were coming back from injury. We started to look a slightly better team. So he knows the frustration for the whole season. I mean, he'll look at it from a playing point of view first, regardless of the clown show that's been going on behind. He'll know that there's moments in the game, and he's played it, you know, for many years. There's moments in the game which can define your season. It could be that Bond one-on-one. It could be the last minute goal Huddersfield scored or something where you're thinking, if. The fact that it's 1 point, and if we'd been relegated bottom, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, or, you know, in normal time, I think it's almost probably easier to take. But it's like a single point, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, well, yeah, funny enough, as we were leaving Elland Road on Wednesday evening, Ollie said to me, oh, you know, this obviously feels a lot worse than 3-4 years ago when we went down. I was like, yeah, it's because we went down about four games before the end, and it was chaos. This is a relegation that was avoidable, and that's what was so hard to take. It also wasn't great that we then had to walk through the thousands of Leeds fans who turned up at Elland Road after the game, and Ollie was dressed head to toe in Charlton gear as well, so he was standing there turning it all inside out because he just couldn't deal with the stick we'd be getting. But cutting corners, Ben, that was mentioned by Lee Bayer. We've cut corners as a club for years upon years now. Roland Duchatelet cut corners. ESI 1 cut corners. ESI 2 don't actually own the club yet, so you can't really say they've cut corners, but they sort of have, and I imagine they will if they ever get in, which they probably won't. As a rookie manager like Lee Bowyer, to come into a side, you know, get him into the playoffs in his first year and in his first sort of 10 games really, then do the trick again and achieve promotion in his second year with his hands tied behind his back, and then to nearly survive in the Championship again with his hands tied behind his back, with funds promised in January that never materialised, with everything that's happened around here, and then with his players deciding not to play towards the end. I mean, he must think that he didn't particularly want to be a football manager in the first place, but he must have thought there's no way it would ever be this difficult. And he must be one of the most unlucky managers ever, having to deal with all this in your first few years.
As you said, yeah, it's crazy. And I think it's so bizarre for me that some people are calling like his mistakes, that's why we got relegated. I mean, as Tom was just saying there, of course you can look at the late goals we've conceded, and that's probably the end of the day, not holding on to those points, it hasn't helped. So you look back at that and you think, oh, okay, Boyer did make a few wrong calls, but as you said, he's a rookie manager. He's what, in his third, what was that, his second full season, yeah. He's done 2.5 seasons.
I mean, name one team this season that hasn't conceded a goal late on. I'd be shocked if there's any.
Oh yeah, and you look at Luton, I remember when teams were laughing at Luton because their keeper kept making mistake after mistake after mistake, and people were like, why have we bought this guy? And then he's turned into having a real good second half of the season. I think for me, the main factor which Bo will be guided about, he made some really good signings. You look at Conor Gallagher, you look at Lecco, obviously Taylor played, Lockyer played really well, another good signing. Taylor, look at the start of the season, it was all going so well and you thought, wow, we're looking really good. And that's how unlucky he was. We lost Taylor on Montserrat duty. We lost Gallagher to go back to Chelsea, who ends up at Swansea. We lost Lecco at QPR. Those, for me, were the factors. And someone like Kai Au, I remember when we got him, we were like, wow, oh, here we go. Look, got Kai Au and Hemed from Brighton. Things are looking up. And it just, as you said, Bowyer must be one of the unluckiest managers there is. You look at January, we think we have funds. We got Aidan McGeady, who David Davis, who I didn't think performed for us. McGeady showed signs, but nothing major. And it just, yeah, just if he to get to 1 point away from staying up, it must be so gutting for him. And he didn't deserve that. I know he made a few mistakes, but as you said, every manager has this season. And if we would have had a bit more goals in the side, which we had with Gallagher, Lecco and Taylor earlier on in the season, I think we would have been fine if we had those players going into the end.
Yeah, that's how sort of how tight the margins have been for us this season. Tom, so we come back to Bowyer then. The indications I was getting in that interview, and then Ben Ransom from Sky put out soon after that he expects Bowyer to go to Birmingham, was certain. It didn't sound like a man who was certain he was going to stay around. You know, we know he was going to go and speak to Paul Elliott after that, but there was this story planted in the media at some point that you could get Boya for $750,000 compensation. So someone has put that out there. You know, you'd assume from, I was going to say within the club, but I don't know if you count the people I'm expecting to be actually be in the club. But, it, you know, Ben Ransom said that pays for 2-3 more months worth of wages as well. So to me, if I was Lee Bowyer, I would be out of the door like an absolute shot before my name gets dragged through the mud anymore. Because unfortunately, you've got, you're trying to achieve things when it's almost impossible.
Yeah, as I said before we heard from him, I don't see what the incentive is for him to stay other than blind loyalty. And I feel he's given us enough on loyalty already. And you know, it's a quality to be admired, but I just don't see, he didn't want to be a manager in the first place. He stumbled into it and he seems to be okay at it. But, and he's got good coaching staff around him, but he hasn't had any backing. And I'm sure he's not asking for tens of millions, but he wants to have an owner upstairs who he feels he can go to and say, look, this is what I need to improve the squad. And if I don't get this, we're going to be in big trouble. And he had that conversation before the season had even started, because then when we came into the season, he said, we're going to really struggle. And even through all that purple patch in the first couple of months, he kept saying, yeah, but we're not going to maintain it. And he was realistic or pessimistic, depending how you look at it. And I just think, I just don't see why he would stay. He's got a good relationship with Birmingham fans anyway. As you say, there's the compensation story that's been leaked by somebody. And you're right in saying that they're not in the club, because it doesn't appear that anybody is apart from a couple of people. So, I fully expect him to leave. He goes with my blessing. I hope he does well wherever he does end up, because I just don't think he deserves to be at a club like us anymore. I could say the same about Dills and Lockie and all those other players that are probably going to leave as well. I just, you know, they gave their all for this season. It wasn't quite enough. I don't understand. They don't owe us anything now. And if I was a player and I was a bit concerned about where my next wage packet was coming from, I'd probably jump ship too. And I'm not going to blame any of them if they do.
Yeah, that was a kind of a case of kicking a fan base when they're down, wasn't it? When Rich revealed that Tom Lockyer has got that relegation clause that means he could leave for free on Thursday morning. And like, oh, for God's sake, I haven't even got out of bed yet, Rich. Come on. But that was a tough one. Right, we got a few messages that have come in. I think we'll have a look at some of those before we go to the next break, and then try and concentrate on the mess that's going on off the field of play. This one's from Phil. Says, hi guys, firstly can I thank you on behalf of all the listeners for your coverage of all things Charlton this year. Yeah, cheers for that, Phil, that's no problem. It's been eventful to say the least. Regarding the football side of things, I've attached these stats which put us bottom in every department on the pitch, which relegation has confirmed. We've lost the battle on the pitch, the battle for Boya and the championship, however, the war against the parasites and leeches surrounding our club continues. Do Châtelet and ESI have to go? If it's administration we need, then let's take it and rid ourselves of these people. It's time to reset, rebuild with new owners, with a vision. Whatever the league we find ourselves in, stay safe, guys. Come on, you addicts. That's from Phil. Yeah, and, I mean, the stats show that we are, you know, quite low in chances created or shots had during a game. We tend to be quite high in shots, allowing the other team to have shots. I mean, but that has been sort of expected, you know. At the start of the season, you have a team with the lowest budget. That's always going to be the case, and you just hope they have enough fight to get you over the line. And that's where we came so close. And we're certainly going to concentrate more on the leeches, as Phil put it, which is one way of putting it, and probably a way I very much agree with. And parasites later on in the show. Right, Alex says, "Dear Charlton Life, just want to thank you for the fantastic coverage all season." Cheers, Alex. I can't help but feel we are in the end times of Charlton. I've never seen words from Louis like we are screwed on Twitter. Yeah, I did say we're a bit screwed on Twitter after the game against Leeds on Wednesday, because I'm looking at who's going to be here next season. Manager, probably not. Half the squad are going, currently under a transfer embargo. I mean, that's currently the best of it, because also if we don't pass the EFL fit and proper test, you know, the owners and directors test before the start of the next season, which is only 6-7 weeks ago, then why would they let us start? So it wouldn't make any sense for them to actually let us into the league. And my fear is that we end up like Bury and we end up kicked out of the league. But, well, I hope it doesn't come to that. Alex says, the main thing we all need is to stick together and support a new club if we need to. I'm pretty numb at the moment. This is by far the worst relegation of the five that I've experienced. Yeah, let's rank them, Ben. I think of all the relegations I've seen, I think, yeah, going down from the Prem was sad at the time. going down into League One twice before was also sad, but this is the one. I guess the last one under Roland, there was a worry about what would happen next, but this is now a real concern about what could happen to the club itself next.
Well, yeah, that's a worry. The future of the club, I think, when we've been relegated before, okay, with the Roland one, we kind of already knew we were down about three or four games before that one. When we got relegated from the Premier League, I remember that one where Danny Mills scored last minute, one at Villa, and it went through to the final day. That was quite hard to take because of such an amazing playoff final in 98. Then we had that other one from the Championship with Pardew and Parkinson, which wasn't fun. But yeah, as you said, it's just the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen, and it's such a quick turnaround for next season. The EFL being the EFL could easily turn around and just say, do you know what? Look, we don't know what's happening at your club. You're not allowed in. And they've done the same with Bury, so...
Yeah, that is my main concern ahead of next year. Right, Mike Harrington says, right, time to stop tiptoeing around the Lyle Taylor issue. It's now all over and we can say what we think without worrying about upsetting any current player. Lyle Taylor's scoring record was in the region of 1-3, in fact 1-2 at times. With 9 games to go after lockdown, it would have been reasonable to have expected him to get 3 goals. We know we made the chances, we saw them. Adding 3 goals to our running would very likely have added at least 4 points. 8 of the 9 games were decided by just 1 goal. We were 1 point from staying up, 1 bloody point. Now, Lyle Taylor, you were signed as a player. You agreed to be our player. You were happy to take the wages when it suited you. So it's fair that we get to say that you deserve that you deserted your post. You failed us. You let us down. And I sincerely hope, although I very much doubt it will happen, that any club looking at you will take this into consideration when weighing up their options. You now have a track record for disloyalty, and I for one will never forget it. That's good to get it off my chest. And yes, I am bitter from it. That's from Mike. I mean, obviously, like there's plenty of factors in this relegation. You know, the ownership, Tom, is clearly one of them. Poor finishing, whatever, is one of them as well. Because if Lyle plays, we probably do stay up. And therefore, you know, the decision of those 3 players, we do have to include all 3 of them. But although Lyle, you know, I don't think without any argument really was clearly the most important one. But Lyle, Chris Solly and David Davies not playing has affected us. And you could argue it's played a big part in us getting relegated.
100%. Yeah, he's got to take some of the responsibility. I kind of sided with what Boya said. You know, he wasn't our player anymore, so we had to just focus on who was here. But I also agree with what Boya said, which was pretty much if Lyle was still here, then we probably would have stayed up. And I think I said it at the time when we first did a show, when it got announced that he wasn't coming back, that irrespective of after the 31st of June, or 30th of June, he had a contract until that point. And at the very least, I expected him to honour that contract. I think it does show disloyalty. And we've just spoken about what an important quality that is with Boya. I don't think clubs will look at that, unfortunately, because clubs don't really care about that if it scores them goals. But, yeah, his character has not come out of this well. But beyond that, and my focus obviously is on Charlton, that had he been here, he probably would have scored a couple of goals and potentially kept us up. And there are plenty of other factors that have fed in as well, as you say, so I'm not going to sit here and just rest on that. And I saw lots of people calling him out and feeling angry after the game, and I don't blame them for that because I see that point of view. But for me, it's a culmination of a lot of bigger issues. And you also think that if ESI, Roland, Tanoon, whoever the hell owned our club in January, had offered him a decent and respectful contract at that time, then maybe we would have kept hold of him anyway. So, yeah, I don't think he handled it well. And I would have liked to have at least seen him stay for his contract because I think he kind of used COVID as an excuse to not have to play. If the season hadn't had a break, there's no way he would have just decided halfway through with 5 games left, actually, I'm not going to bother anymore. But, you know, that's what happened. And I think even without that, we still had enough chances in those games to stay up. Macaulay Bonn admitted it himself. He could have put a couple of them away. So, look, Lyle takes a share of the responsibility, but there are 100 reasons we went down. And that was just one of them for me.
Excellent stuff. Right, we're going to go to a break in a second. I just want to say hello to Jonathan West from the Charlton Outbeats as well, who sent us a couple of messages over the last few days. I hope you're doing well, Jonathan. But yeah, we'll have a quick break here on Charlton Life. When we come back, we'll discuss, well, the massive mess that Charlton Athletic Football Club currently is.
I think I
Gallagher keeping in for Charlton. He's under a bit of pressure, flicks it on towards Pierce. Little flick forward towards Williams. He's onside. Williams in a pounce here. Collects. Williams. Skies past Allen. No, Williams.
Oh.
Allen. Can Gallagher get on a retrieving ball? He can, but further wide. Gallagher, ball into Cullen. Cullen has got Bradley behind him. Cullen into the pounce area. Cullen still, ball across goal. Comes Williams. And he can!
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. We're into the final segment of this season's shows. We are going to be taking a break now. We managed to go all the way through lockdown when there was no football, which I'm really proud of, but I think we do need a break. I'm going away anyway, so I can't do it. So if anything major happens between now and whatever the start of the season is, September the 12th, isn't it, then maybe we'll come back, but we'll sort of play it by ear. But certainly going to have a few weeks off now, at least, just to sort of recharge the batteries. This has definitely been the longest series of Charlton Live going over a year, is it? When would probably exactly a year, I reckon. We would have come back around this time for the start of the of last season. So the pre-match game before Blackburn would have been probably just under a year ago. So yeah, nearly a year unbroken shows, which we'll be very proud of. But we are going to take a break. So, but obviously before we do that, Ben, we need to talk about the mess that's going on. Since relegation, there's been a statement, fairly bland statement on the club website from Paul Elliott about how he's going to take this club forward and how disappointed he was. Then we had Chris Farnell, the lawyer who represents everybody and nobody at the same time, was on TalkSport saying he hurts like the rest of the Charlton fans, which is an absolute piss take, if we're being honest, because obviously he's not a Charlton fan. If he supported every club, he's been a lawyer at or near or for or for someone else and something to do with it, he'd support. He's basically doing the 92, but not in a good way. So we've seen a few vague noises, but I think it's clear that the fan base are getting more and more tired with what's going on. There's been a complaint issued against Chris Farnell, and he's actually going to be investigated by the Solicitors Regulatory Authority. People have said that there may be a conflict of interest in what he's doing, because I mean, he's represented everybody and nobody, it seems, at times, who've been involved with the club over the last few months. You know, he was Matt Southall's representative at one point, had a falling out with him over an unpaid bill, apparently, became Tanun Namir's representative, then he was on the board at the ESI, seemed involved with the club that way. Then all of a sudden he was trying to sell the club, and he was talking to Lawrence Bassini, according to Bassini. He was talking to Hugh Jenkins. And then all of a sudden he's on the other side of it and trying to buy the club for Paul Elliott and insists that he wasn't representing both parties in this. But, you know, he's said himself he was representing the club at times, and then all of a sudden he's representing other parties. So it's got really confused. I mean, Mark, I don't know if... I mean, as people who aren't solicitors and lawyers, it's hard to delve deep into this sort of stuff. But at the same time, I mean, we're football fans, and we know when someone rocks up at Bury who's previously been in and around Bolton, or previously been in and around Blackburn, or previously been in and around Leeds when they had their dodgy owner. I mean, it's almost like trouble follows this guy around, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he's one of these people who just thinks, oh, well, football fans, they're all thick builders and, you know, no brain cells. And they don't understand that most followers of any club is made up of a wide spectrum of individuals with different skills, different abilities, different powers. And, you know, it doesn't take long for a lot of the mistruths to be pointed out, saying, well, actually, that's not true. And I think he's a little bit like, but you don't know anything about sports, you know, lawyer in sports law. No, there's plenty of people who are involved who actually do know a fair bit about it and can point out. And to be honest, it's one of the most simple things for a lawyer. If there is a conflict of interest of any case, you have to declare it. You'd have to declare it in any legal case. to say I have to recuse myself because I actually have, you know, a finger in both pies. It's like he wants to play for both sides and have the referees whistle at the same time and then sit in the stand.
It's clear that he denies any wrongdoing. He's been quite vocal on Twitter. He's clearly got time to be on Twitter all bloody day. It seems worse than me recently. He denies there's been any wrongdoing, Ben. But, I mean, when the club has waited this long now and still hasn't passed the EFL owners and directors test again, and because of the fact there's very little communication from the EFL on this matter as to why, I mean, that's frustrating, but... This is the second time it's happened now that we've had owners here for this long who have failed to pass the test, and it's been dragging on a lot longer than you'd expect it to, then of course people are going to be very, very suspicious about what their motives are. And that's before they've, you know, you link them with everything else that's gone on in their past and the same names popping up at different clubs. I mean, as Steve Brown said on Radio London this afternoon, it's a massive red flag, and the people involved are going to come under such scrutiny. And you've got people at this club, you know, the likes of Rick Everett or the fan, I think it's Dan Sayer, who put the complaint in. I mean, the Supporters Trust, Dodger, these people aren't going to be able to rest easy because Charlton fans are going to turn up everywhere. They're going to delve into every little nook and cranny of your history. If you've done something, if you've got dirty knickers, they will find them, and you will be regret the day you ever cross Charlton Athletic Football Club. And that is what's going to happen next. And therefore, you think it's in everyone's best interest if they just get out of here and move the club onto someone who wants to own it and run it successfully, and doesn't seem to have what some people are assuming are slightly iffy motives.
Yep, you've hit it all on the nail on the head there, mate. It's crazy that these guys, what are their intentions? Why come in and just drag their own names through the dirt and just keep a football club for the sake of it? Like, if you've not got the money, if you've not got a mystery backer that we don't know about that's paying the wages, I mean, we just don't know what's happening with that, who's putting the money into it, because it surely isn't Paul Elliott.
They say it is. Everyone has their suspicions, especially if it is, as to how long he'd be able to do that, because, I mean, with all due respect to Paul Elliott, we don't know enough about him to think he's bowling around in helicopters and, you know, like he's someone who's got the sufficiency of funds to keep a football league club going, like in the Championship or in League One.
Again, yeah, there's no communication. There's not someone going, here's Paul Elliott, our new chairman. He has got this amount of companies. This is how he's funding the club. That's what happens.
This is
normally
who's in his consortium.
Yeah, because that Alan Nixon of The Sun kept saying, oh, don't worry, there is a mystery guy that's involved and you can trust him. How? We don't know who he is. And I mean, we've had that happen before when Jimenez and Slater were involved. They had a mystery guy and we saw what happened there. It's just, why are these people doing it? Why are they dragging our name through the dirt?
And that's when you start to question motives, Tom. You know, because people don't do it purely just to drag their own names through the dirt, or because, you know, they love Charlton, who they've literally probably never heard of. You know, famously, they don't know where Macros is. I mean, the line that was on TalkSport the other day. And obviously, that was a couple of people laughed at that. But the fact is, I mean, it shows that these people have no... There's absolutely no reason why these people would rock up to try and save Charlton Athletic out of the good of their own heart. You know, that was what was meant by that line on TalkSport. They don't know where Macros is because they're not from around here. They've got nothing to do with the club. They've got no ties to the club or the area. They're not doing this out of the good of their own heart, which is why then you've got to start... I can't believe some of the people on social media who was like, we got to give them a chance. Why? What is that based on? What out of the last 5-6 years has given you the blind optimism to suggest that people come into, say, football clubs because they love the game of football and they're not in it for themselves? I don't understand why people still put their fingers in their ears and think like that. There's not many, but there's some, and it baffles me, Tom.
Yeah, I think the only thing I can think of is that it's a fear, and they can't quite comprehend the fact that we really could be like the next Bury. That's all I can think of, and particularly from Championship, probably from League One upwards now, the local business owner, unless your local is the United Arab Emirates or the Middle East, your local business owner just doesn't have the money to to support a club like that anymore, unfortunately, which means that you either get owners who happen to support your club from afar and have a lot of money, which of course is possible, or you get people who are prepared to take a punt and get it right and get them into the Premier League and get the money back that way. But aside from that, the only other reason is to try and make money out of the club. And the only way you make money out of the club is, as we've seen in the ways that the other clubs have gone down, like your Berries, is to basically bleed them dry. And that's what's happened. And, you know, it's not controversial to say that that's what people are doing, because there's proof that that's been done. Whether that's happening at Charlton or not, obviously we can speculate, but we can't accuse them of that until we see. But as you say, what else is Paul Elliott's motive? He's a guy we've never heard of before. He's suddenly pitching up and claiming what? That he's got 50 million that he just wants to chuck into Charlton, and if he loses it, he doesn't care? I don't think that's the case at all. And I think Rick was said that it's been fronted by a loan, hasn't it? And he suspects or rumours or thinks that perhaps they will take transfer funds out. But, I mean, we're going to have to wait to see. But the fact we're even having this conversation shows how precarious Charlton's position is. And you know what? If he comes out and he has put the money in and he does stabilise us and we do well in League One and he allows Bowyer to make signings and ties down a contract, at that point, maybe fans will hold their hands up and say, fair enough. But words aren't enough anymore. And the statements, I said it when he put his first statement out, I'm fed up of statements. I don't need that. I need actions from an owner, and you need to know that you can trust them. And unfortunately, at the moment, there's no proof that we can. And that's what's concerning. And as you said a little bit earlier on, the fact that they still haven't even managed to pass the EFL fit and proper persons test, considering it's the easiest test in the world to pass, you basically just need to be a human and breathe in, it's a concern that they still haven't managed to pass it, because it makes you think, well, what the hell are the EFL looking into that's concerning them so much?
Yeah, the fact it's dragged on this long, I think, is proof enough for me that, I mean, there's a lot that's proof enough for us that we're, again, in a precarious position. And like I said earlier on, Mark, I mean, my fear now is that we don't start next season. You know, we if we don't pass the EFL fit and proper test, you know, I mean, EFL surely have to make a decision soon, because this has dragged on long enough. If we don't pass it, then why on earth would we be allowed to continue in the league? Now, if they come out tomorrow and say, no, they failed it, the ownership reverts to, well, remains with Southall and with Nimmer, then what happens then? Does the mystery backer who's been supposedly paying the wages, do they pull out? Do we go into administration? How that affects the deals for the ex-directors, the Valley, is quite complicated. I think the ex-directors will still get their money. But certainly you'd basically be trying to pick up a club with the debts wiped out. And then, this is my understanding of it, but still not owning its own stadium. So it's worth just as little as it is now, really. But at least that would move on the current lot in there. And you hope that, you know, obviously there's a lot of talk about Andrew Barkley and Peter Varney. If they're the only game in town in terms of people who want to take it over, then they sit fine with me, because they've got good people vouching for them. But what happens next? The next few weeks between now and... Well, I mean, pre-season, QPR are starting their pre-season in 3 weeks. That's what Mark Warburton said. We're not probably going to be in a position to do that, because we might not have a manager, we might not have any players. But between now and then, it's going to be a bit of a rollercoaster ride, and we just pray that we have a football club who's allowed to compete in the EFL, come out of it the other side.
Well, knowing how the EFL take their time over everything, I think, and especially with Charlton's luck, what will happen is it will come out next week that Sheffield Wednesday have been deducted 12 points, so we're no longer in the bottom three. And then the day after that, they'll announce that we've going to be out of existence anyway, so we're going to be relegated out of the league totally. So that would be our luck. I mean, that's the typical how the EFL can run itself in any shape or form. And it's not just like it's a one-off. This has been happening over quite a few seasons now, where we've seen clubs struggling with ownerships, and you think, so what's going to happen? I mean, a lot of this, and I was thinking about this the day after. I mean, the blame on this is all on Duchelet's door. He was taken in by a couple of people, offered him some magic beans because he wanted that miracle amount of money, and it all went on from there. And then, I say, they came in and literally bled, like you said, bled the club dry. I mean, I would go in and be worrying about all the grass had gone, and someone in Manchester's got a very nice lawn at the moment. how the EFL look at it doesn't reflect well on them. I mean, with no disrespect to Bury, because they had been down the bottom of the league for the last few seasons. I mean, I'd hate to say, you know, we're a bigger club, you know, because, you know, with Bury is just as important to the Bury fans, and it's really arrogant to come across like that. But we have got a bit more recent history as such of, you know, the Premiership and everything. And we were held up. I mean, it's not that long ago. It seems like it now, but not that long ago, where we were held up as a shining example for clubs to how to run them sensibly, you know, with a steady manager, steady board. You know, I can't see the EFL coming out of this and covering themselves with any glory. I did say last week I thought everything was going to happen after we knew what league we were in. You know, we got relegated Wednesday. You know, there'll be businessmen, let's say, I mean, Barclay and Varney, I think that's the wish and the hope of everybody, because they think, you know, they might go and say to Roland, look, you know, you're the one who's going to have to deal with this. We will offer you X amount, because that's what the club is worth in League One now. You know, you can take it, or you can be drawn out and go and have zero. Because if you go into administration, you're going to get zero. Mm. So, or we can pay you what we think it's worth. And I think, you know, that's the way to look at it. I think people in the middle have just been literally just trying to milk that magic cow for themselves for as much as possible. So I think they've just been dealing with the wrong people, unfortunately. And the EFL, like I say, you know, still saying you've got to be human and breathing. But even then, I think that's probably two more requirements than the EFL are actually looking at. I mean, like I said earlier on Twitter, I think as long as they get their long lunches and backhanders, they'll just look the wrong other way for everything. There'll be more clubs in trouble.
Yeah,
you know, that's because of this 19. We'd be a lot more clubs in trouble. So the EFL is just going to, if they're going to put a rod for their back, if they put us out of existence, I guarantee you by Christmas, possibly, there'll be another six clubs who will have gone out of business, because that's the way, you know, business football clubs are being run now.
Yeah, well, on that cheery note, I think we should bring, I mean, that's the way it is, Sarah. It's a depressing show, and it's a depressing end to the show. But that is, I think that's where we should call it a day now, the end of the show. The end of Charlton Live for the 2019-2020 season, which has gone on forever. But we finally got to the end. Unfortunately, it's ended in heartbreak, and it ends in massive, massive uncertainty for the club going forward as well. By the time we come back, who knows where we'll be. Hopefully we'll be in a lot healthier of a position, but I'm certainly not making any promises. Right, I want to thank everyone who's listened to the show throughout the course of the season. I want to thank everyone who's appeared on the show as well throughout this season. I thank the chaps who are with me now. So thanks to Mark and to Tom on the phone. Good to have you guys.
Cheers.
You're welcome.
Cheers, guys. And thanks, of course, to Benji, who's in the kitchen with me. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you for the couple of beers as well.
Was that? Yeah, definitely. That's the only thing that's keeping us cheery at the moment. But that is the end of the show. Thanks to those of you who've listened throughout the season. Thanks to those of you who've emailed and tweeted and whatnot throughout the season as well. Put posts on the forum as well. It's really helped us get over the line. Especially when we've had like a really boring 0-0 draw or something. Just people sending messages. But it helps us finish it off. Right, so I've been Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening. We've got our end of season montage coming up now. I hope you enjoy it. You probably won't, because it's been a crap season. But this is how the 1920 season has played down on Charlton Live. We'll see you later. Been another fascinating summer here at the Valley. Good evening and welcome back to Charlton Live.
The 2019-20 season is underway.
Ski to swing this in. Pierce with the flick.
Taylor with the flick. It's gone in. Oh, Taylor makes it two for the Arrows.
Towards near post to Taylor. Little flick.
Surely.
It's got it.
Yeah! Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Taylor three. Stoke one.
Slow run up from Lyle Taylor, a huge moment here at Oakwell. He gets up to the ball now, he hits it with his right foot, and he's scored! And Lyle Taylor gets his third goal of the season and bring the Addicts back onto level terms. It's Barnsley 2, Charlton 2.
Williams, ball inside to Gallagher, it's good. Gallagher shooting shots, Gallagher
scores!
And
with Charlton's first shot goal, the Addicts take the lead.
Taylor slowly walks, still. Into the pens here. Lyle Taylor up against the goalkeeper. Taylor steps up.
Strikes, yeah! Scores! Calm as you like from Lyle Taylor. And Charlton have that second that they've been dying to get.
It's Josh Cullen prepares to take the corner. Swings it in. Ooh. It's come towards Lockett!
Yeah! Come on! Tom Lockett! Grabs his third Charlton goal! The perfect corner from Josh Cullen. Tom Lockett, the flick. Can
Kid chips it towards the far post. Chris Solly heads it back across. Gallagher with the shot.
Yes!
Gallagher with the goal.
Come on.
A brilliant work move from Charles. Out to Prattley. Crosses the ball in. It's a flick from Bourne. John at back of the head. It's Macaulay Bourne.
Looking for Cullen as well, picked up by
Shinny,
but Field gets it back across to Gallagher, shooting chance. Gallagher goes for it!
Oh! What a goal!
Conor Gallagher! That is magnificent!
For Josh Cullen to take this kick. Strides up, shoots into the top of the net! I don't know if you can have a top of the roof, but it's there anyway.
There's
Charlton on level terms, and I don't think that's anything other than we deserve.
Nerves of absolute steel from Josh Cullen.
Ronan du Châtelet has agreed to sell the club to the East Street Investments. It looks like he's for 4 or 5 years, his reign of error, as some people are calling it, is over.
You know, he's got the foundations to go on to be a really, really successful club. You know, we've got a great infrastructure, great young manager, a great director of football. They've done a great job up until now.
We are looking forward with our team, with our coach, with our fans to develop the Charlton to be in the Premier League very soon, inshallah, with them.
What they're saying is it sounds good, and it's the club's going to move forward.
And regarding last night, there was some positive things, there was some strange things.
Phillips looks to clear this away long towards the edge of the penalty. It's not a good kick. It was flicked on by Cameron. Now he's on the penalty. Yes! Yes! Doughty will look to take on Chaplin. Cuts inside into his left foot. Deep ball into the penalty area. Pierce, good header. Saul with the chance, comes back. Green with the shot.
Yeah!
Green with the goal!
Yeah!
Lovely finish! And Charlton have their second before half-time.
Thrown into it, looking for Taylor. Mpenza gets a header, but it'll drop to Charlton's striker. Into Lepsley. Lepsley to Bond. Bond still on it. Better left!
Yes! Oh, the goal! They could win it for Charlton! Returning from injury has bagged Charlton's third and possibly given Charlton all 3 points here.
Corner of the penalty area, Pearce in front of him, ball back across, easy touch, easy goal. And it's McNair with the finish. And once again, Charlton, the architects of their own downfall.
A third defeat in a row sees the Addicts drop into the bottom three for the first time this season with 9 games left to go. We stockpiled plenty of points at the start of the season, but we can't seem to panic buy a win at this moment in time.
The chairman had raped the club with his team. I'm not happy to give my money to the people to rape this money. The club, guys, and they take all the money for them to leave a nice bridge, to get the Range Rovers, and to use the money for the pitches. You should ask Matt Southwell. Guys, he cheat you, he take all the money which I put in the club, and it has been gone for his lifestyle.
Matt, can you tell us what's happened tonight, please?
Do you have a message for the Charlton fans? What's the future of their club? Are you still part of this club, Matt? Have you a message for Tanoon? We need to talk about something else, of course, that's happened this week, and that is the fact that all football's been cancelled. I can't believe I'll be 10 minutes from the end of a Charlton Live and have to say that, but we're in a really bizarre situation in the world at the moment. The coronavirus is obviously sweeping all over the planet. Things are going to get worse before they get better. I think that's quite clear. This week, the club lost one of its most dedicated and popular supporters. Seb Lewis lived and breathed Charlton Athletic Football Club. His death, aged just 38, has rocked the Addicts community and has been met with an outpouring of grief from supporters far and wide.
Keep going for as long as I can, you know, keep the run going for as long as I can. And if I miss one down the line, I'll start another long run, I'm sure.
I think when we found out about the embargo, I think that was obviously a worry, because we was in January and we, you know, all through November, December, you talk about your recruitment and what you need to help you kick on in January. And then when we found out about the embargo and that actually we wasn't going to be able to sign anyone, it was a concern and a worry, because that's not what we'd been told.
At the start of the week, it became clear that there's three players who aren't going to be doing that for us. David Davis is on loan from Birmingham City. But, I mean, there was a couple of names in that list that I think have surprised, and Chris Solly being one. And again, hasn't quite caught the attention like Lyle Taylor has. And so this week, it was announced sort of by the press on Monday evening. We'd been expecting like some sort of takeover, exchange of shares, some new person owning ESI, and it was announced towards the beginning of the week that it's Paul, a businessman called Paul Elliott. Apparently this has all been organised by Tanoon's lawyer, Chris Farnell, and all of a sudden we're owned by a man called Paul Elliott. Thank God it's all over, Terry, and we can all just go back to normal. Hello and welcome to Charlton Life. This is the big match preview, and you guys have no idea how bloody good it feels to be saying that again.
Far side, Cullen. This one's in the air. It's a little flip, gone ahead. Chip back across from yes, come on. Well buried the goal. Charlton have the lead. Into the centre. Prattley's over the header. And yes, header come on. Charlton have the lead. 11 and a half minutes gone. Another Cullen corner.
Ball across. Goal to Tappin for Macaulay Bourne. And Charlton have the important lead here.
On the right, Bellingham. Right-hand edge of Charlton's penalty area, taking on Prattley. To his left, gets the ball in the box, into there, saved by Phillips. Oh, now it's gone in. Now it's all square here at St Andrews.
OK, again trying. This gets a flick on to Bond. Will he take the shot away? Yes! 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 Come on! Yes! Macaulay Bond has scored!
Come on.
A vital goal for the Addicts.
Well, that's the lifeline Charlton wanted. A City, if you're not going to win this game, don't lose it.
Perveda controls. He's got Shackleton in the middle, and Shackleton finishes, and it's 4-0.
Oh, no. Is there word coming in?
Barnsley are 2-1 up.
I'm hearing news that it is all over at Griffin Park, yeah, and Brentford. Have lost against Barnsley, so our fate is sealed, sadly. Charlton will be playing in League One next season.
If you cut corners, then this is what happens. We still fought to the last day. I don't think it's the time to talk about whether other clubs will be interested in myself. Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of things, Rich, that I've not been happy with, and more things of late, recently have happened that's even made me even more so not happy with things that are happening here, and at times I just felt like this job was impossible. It became impossible at times. Even when you've had all that, you still got the chance to stay in the division, and we never grabbed it. That's what hurts me more than anything.
We'll be right back.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.